So I guess what I'm going to start out with is finding out, like, you know, we all came to Aspen at different times. When did you guys get to the crazy city?
Okay, let's see. I hope you have a whole day. I originally came to Aspen in 1967. I was still in college. I had dropped out to heal from my played football in college. I dropped out to heal a leg injury and went to all places, Stowe, Vermont, to ski. I thought that was a good way to heal my leg injury. It shows you what youth does to your brain. And I got a job as a bouncer at this little bar. It's called the Black Jug, or the Leather Jug, excuse me. And anyway, my buddy who was working there had also left college just to hang with me, went out to Aspen, and he wrote me a note. He said, "You got to come out here. Give up everything and get out here. This is it." And so I got a ride out there, and in 67, he was working at, gosh, I can't even remember the name of the place, just a little lodge. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. Every day it snowed, and this is first, and it's never happened since. It snowed 6 to 8 inches every night, and it was bluebird day all day for 6 straight days. And this is coming from Stowe, Vermont, where it's just ice. And I said, "That's it. I'm going to come back here someday for sure." So I went back. I graduated. I had a math degree. I had a really young baby at the time, just born. Kathy, that was little Tommy.
Yeah.
And had to find work now. I'd forgotten about Aspen, really. And got a job as a systems analyst. My degree was in math. And I got a job as a systems analyst for a subsidiary of General Dynamics down in Houston, Texas. Now, this is a Maryland, Pennsylvania boy, and you put him in Texas, and a guy who loves to ski, and now I'm in Houston, Texas, going, this is the most miserable place, I mean, for me, who I was,
yeah.
And also the condition I was in, just having a baby. My knee was still... I had torn my ACL, and they couldn't fix it in those days. You just had to wait till a knee replacement 30 years later. So I just made it strong through, you know, working hard on it. But I got sick of that job fairly quickly, and I went to Kathy. I said, "Kathy, you know, let's sell whatever we got. Let's buy, yes, a VW van, you know, classic, with the little top that comes up, you know. And let's go to," and I came up with the name Jackson Hole, Colorado. I mean, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Now, why Jackson Hole? I don't know. I had never been to Jackson Hole. I'd heard great things about it. It was the most rugged place to ski in those days. It was sort of a wilderness area. And so we sold everything, put the dog, the baby, little Tommy, Kathy and I in this van and headed up. On our way up to Jackson Hole, we stopped in the little town of Aspen, Colorado. You know, I told Kathy I had the best 6 days of skiing ever here. Kathy had her sister working as a waitress here. So we're going to stop for 1 hour. We pulled into a little A-frame. They had a lot of A-frames in town then. There's this one little A-frame in town where Kathy's sister Chrissy lived, and we walk in there, and there's maybe 8 people. We're gonna stay an hour, and they're all just sitting around, gathered around, a bunch of nice people. There was one guy sitting on the couch tuning a guitar. I went over and said, "Hi, I'm Tom." He said, "Hi, I'm John." And you know, we stayed, as we said, just a little less than an hour, and then we're going to Jackson Hole. I walk out of the A-frame, and a guy says, "Hey, buddy, can you help me out?" I go over to this guy. He says, "Hey, my name's Bruce. Could you help me stuff this dog in a backpack?" So now I'm going, what are we doing here? We're stuffing this really big poodle. This like you know, it was about came up to your waist trying to get him in a backpack. And I said, why are we doing this? We finally got him in with just this little head sticking out. And he said, well, because I'm on my motorcycle. And I get it. Put him on the motorcycle, put the back on the back of Bruce. And I head back to my car and he says, hey, could I ask you one more thing? And I walk back over and he says, hey, Tom, I'm working in a little restaurant called the Leather Jug up at Snowmass. And we got 2-3 more weeks of the season left. And you could camp up on the Snowmass Creek, good fishing up there. You could walk up the hill to the restaurant and help me out for 3 weeks. And that'd be great. I go back and say, hey, Kathy, I know we don't have a job. We don't even know where we're going. I think we're going to Jackson Hole. That's my dream image. But this guy's asked me to help him. She said, as Kathy always did, yeah, let's do it. So we camped on Snowmass Creek, hiked up the hill every day, helped Bruce out at the Leather Jug. And while I'm there, I'm waiting tables, and there's this two couples. As I'm serving them, I hear them talking about a community school they wanted to open.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out, this is 1970,
yeah,
they're trying to figure out how to do this thing. And as I'm sort of going by more frequently, filling their water glasses because I want to listen, I said, well, you know, I have a degree in math, but I also have my teaching certificate. I'd really be interested if you guys are going to start this school. And they said, well, we're really thinking about it. And they said, well, I'm Dr. Whitcomb. This is my wife, Polly. Here's Marcy and Herb Balderson. So I shake hands with them. And you know, well, there it is. I never get this, Colin. I never got to Jackson Hole for 40 years. It took me to ever see the place. I didn't see the place until 2000-something. So That's the weird magnet that is Aspen. And if one is open to learning and experiencing, it's a tough place to get out of that magnet. And I've been here ever since, 54 years here.
That's what, yeah. I remember. I remember a lot of stories of people saying that they just were going to come here for one ski season, and it's 15 years later and they're still in town.
Exactly. Exactly. So I never saw Jackson Hole. I mean, it was amazing. And just one thing led to another. I started teaching at the community school. It was at the Physics Center at the time, the first year. And there was just Michael Stranahan, myself, Annie Teague. You remember all these characters,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
People like that. And Marilyn Couch was there. I don't know if you remember her. She was there for just a couple of years. And I needed help. I laid down the law with what I wanted. I said, I'll do this, but here's what I really want. I'll teach that. We had the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th graders. I had the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, all of them.
Okay.
There were maybe 13 or 15 of them. You know, I had Mark and Hal Harvey.
Yeah.
I had Verena Whitcomb.
Verena.
I had, not Thea, she was a little younger.
Yeah.
I had, all those were the kinds of people I had, you know, they're great people. Paul Britvar, if you remember Paul Britvar.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I said, this is what I want. I really want permission. I know this is an alternative school. This is what I want. But I want to have real freedom with these kids. I want to be able to take them out of school if there's great weather to go skiing, if there's great camping weather somewhere. I want to be able to throw them out of the classroom if they're really disruptive and they're not allowed in until they really want to be there. I don't want, you know, the school rules that I felt hold people back. These were some of my, you know, thoughts about it. They said, we trust you. Go ahead. So I had these kids and they were great kids. It was just an incredible experience. And I knew I needed some help. And I had Kathy's brother's best friend I had met previously when they had passed through one time, and he was still in school. I got a hold of him. He was in school in Connecticut or someplace. And I said, hey, John, his name was John Katzenberger.
John was my favorite teacher. He was amazing.
Well, so I said, John, why don't you come out, take a semester off, come out here, work with me, be my assistant. We'll pay you like 10 bucks a week because that's what we all got paid. Really ridiculous, low salaries. And John said, I'll do it. He shows, so he's there. And so John and I, we taught that first year at the building, at the physics center. And then he went back to school to graduate, came back within a year, I believe. But by that time, after that year, Harry Teague had designed the building and George Stranahan had given the land.
Yep.
And John Katzenberger, you don't mind rambling, do you? You're going to edit this whole thing, right?
This is, you know, John Katzenberger, Rhett Harper, Deb, those were all people that I grew up with. Sandy Monroe. I mean, Sandy was kind of dibbling out of the community school stuff when back then too. So.
Sure. I remember all those guys.
I have to say that the most amazing, it was part of my life. I only went there for like 2 years, but the community part of the community school was amazing. And I feel like that, the seeds that you're talking about is where those things get started. You know,
absolutely. A lot of we had freedom to explore, to develop. In fact, one of the projects John and I did the first year, I said, John, I don't have a place to live. You know, I've been living in my van in the summers. I just rent I'm renting these places, and I got Kathy and my little baby Tommy, and you know, we gotta do something. I'd love to build a geodesic dome because I was a math major. John was brilliant scientist, and Bucky Fuller was our hero. We had read everything about Bucky. We were let's make a geodesic dome. So instead of doing math that year, we had all the kids make in a 30-foot by 20-foot building a 40-foot geodesic dome. We did all the math, built all the triangles. And then when the spring came, we went outside, we assembled this thing, and there it was right at the physics center. And that was our, you know, we used that as a classroom. And then that next year, Harry Teague began building. And I said, well, I'd like to come help on your construction crew build this school. Do you mind if I put my dome? I have a dome now. If I could put my dome up on the community school, up above in the pasture among the cows, and that'll be my home. And I can teach out of there and or live there and come down and teach. So that summer, we took it apart in the still of night because we didn't take it. We took it in big pieces and put it on a flatbed and took up both sides. And about 3 a.m, we took it up to the community school. Bang, there's my home for that summer. And then that for 3 years, 71, 72, 73, I taught there, and then it was time. I had my martial art academy. We used the community school grounds for my summer martial art academy. We had 8 different arts from 5 different countries, and all summer long, you know, we built this other dome that Bucky, an 80-foot structure that Bucky had designed at the design center. He'd come out to the design conference and they were going to tear it down. And I said, you know, Bucky, do you mind if I take it down myself? He said, sure. So we took it in big pieces and took that up. And that was an 80-foot diameter structure that was also up there for some of those years.
It was up there when I was there.
Yes, it was.
The black geodesic dome that we made and that you guys made into a science room where the big black cans that were filled with water to heat it and stuff. Yeah. It was really amazing.
That was my old home. That was, it wasn't that way. That's what I'm talking about. John Katzenberger and I built that with the kids as a math project in the physics center. So you got here just a little late. You didn't hear the history.
Yeah. Yeah, and how I love it.
How I relate to the community school, you know, so I got that got going every summer, and then we moved it up to the Snowmass, and then I of course taught the Aikido in town during the winters, and that's sort of how I ended up here, Aspen wow. Community School, and Bruce Gordon,
wow.
the Eco Flight. He was the guy on the motorcycle who I had to stuff his dog in a backpack. So Bruce Gordon and the community school is those are my threads, and that guy on the couch that I shook hands with, who was wow. tuning his guitar, John yeah. Denver. Now, I didn't know it was John Denver. He didn't know me. I didn't see him for another few years until I got a call one day out of the blue saying that John had heard about the work I was doing and would like to study with me.
Wow.
And could I come up and meet him? So I drove up, and John and I hit it off like two brothers.
Yeah.
Neither of us really remembered. I remembered that was John Denver on the couch because I had asked it later. But I, you know, he didn't remember that. And anyway, we became very close, and I tried to support him whatever I, you know, any way I could. And then he invited me out to L.A. one time at this RCA and said, I'm finally big. I'm doing big shows, Madison Square Gardens of the world,
yeah.
and two shows a night, 44,000 people.
Doing the Muppets too. I mean, it was crazy.
Oh yeah, no, he was crazy. And so that's when he went and he said, "I need your help. I need your support. I want you to travel with me when I do these big tours." And so yeah, we became not just friends before that, but then we were on the road together all over the world. So that. You know, so one thing leads to another. I guess what I'm saying is everyone thinks they strategically plan their life, but you don't do it that way.
Right.
You don't. If you look back at it, it's you have no what you thought was the grand design is not how it happens. It happens. It happens stuffing a dog in the backpack, and everybody has that stuffing a dog story. It just comes in different words.